Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29, these are God's words. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away. They did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be Yahweh, God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. By the time we get to the end of chapter 9, and it says, Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. It sounds very much like the conclusion to a chapter that we had earlier in the book of Genesis. It is the form, of course, of chapter 5. So-and-so lived a certain number of years, and after he had lived that many years, he became the father of the next one through whom the covenant line advances, and had other sons and daughters. And it may even be in chapter 5 that the one through whom the covenant line advances is not the first or the tenth or even the hundredth. God knows how many children he was giving over that many years. Especially in their being fruitful and multiplying before the narrowing of the genetic code to Shem and Ham and Japheth, the three from one father from whom were descended all of us who have ever read the book of Genesis. So after a certain number of years, he became the father of so-and-so. And then he lived this many more years and had other sons and daughters, and he died, reminding us that even the covenant line that comes from Adam is in need of a savior, is in need of that seed of the woman, is in need of him whom the scriptures call the last Adam, or the first Adam of the new creation, firstborn from among the dead. Even our Lord Jesus, who is the Adam of a new humanity. And either you are in the old humanity by birth, your first birth, or by second birth and the faith that comes from the second birth, you are in the last Adam and the new humanity and belong to the new creation. Those are the only two categories that anyone finds themselves in. Remaining in the first Adam, in whom through Noah and through Shem or Ham or Japheth, every single one of us are born into, either remaining in him or having been transferred from darkness into light, from death into life, through the new birth and through faith into Jesus Christ, being joined to him. So we have that underlined for us in the passage that we have, because Noah, even though he is enjoying new covenant blessings, okay? New covenant blessing one, he went out of the ark, okay? So he did not perish in the wrath of God. but belongs to that line of grace, that relationship of grace that God has established with those whom he is saving for the sake of Jesus, that God has established with Jesus and all those who believe in Jesus. Remember, it is not those who are the children of the flesh who are children of Abraham or offspring of Abraham, just as it is not merely those who are children of the flesh, even though they are in the covenant externally, in formal covenant with God, who are the descendants of Noah. And God has said, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed. And so Shem and Ham and Japheth are in the covenant. And yet Ham, getting himself excommunicated, brings upon his son in Canaan the curse, whereas God identifies himself by Noah's prophecy as God of Shem. And Japheth is in the covenant because he is in the tent of Shem. But the scripture tells us that it is not the children who are of the flesh, but the children who are of the promise. That you may be a covenant child, and you may be one who is set apart from the world, and you may hear all the covenant promises, but you do not receive the thing promised, the substance, the spiritual, internal thing that is displayed and the ultimate fulfillment of being a church member, of being set apart unto God, in covenant with God. You do not receive that except by faith. Just as we hear, how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? Not from any virtue in them. So you may have the water poured onto your head. You may even put the bread into your mouth or hold the cup unto your mouth and partake of it. Nor in him that doth administer them. You may be entrusted by God formally to the care of one of his anointed servants, who is an administrator of the covenant blessings and the preaching of the word and the sacraments and the exercise of church discipline, these marks of truly being in the covenant. You may have those things, but they do not become effectual means of salvation by those things, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in whom? In them that by faith receive them. And so by faith you make good, you improve, you make use of that once for all baptism for the rest of your life. By faith you make use over and over again in the renewal of and the display of and the showing forth of the covenant in Christ's blood, the showing forth of his death. And God looks upon the covenant sign, the showing forth of his death, just as the rainbow showed forth his death, just as the Passover blood showed forth his death, just as all of the sacrifices of the ceremonial law and the tabernacle and all of the holiness code and all of those things showed forth his death. So now the one sacrament of baptism once for all, and the weekly repeated sacrament, or in our case, the monthly repeated sacrament of the Lord's Supper, shows forth his death, and the Lord responds to that. But he responds to it through the instrument of faith. Okay? And that's why the scripture says it is not the children of the flesh, but the children of the promise, who are the ones who receive the substance of the covenant. Just as it is not those who have the blood of Abraham, but who have the faith of Abraham, Galatians tells us, that are the children of Abraham. And so he is the father of those who believe without circumcision, and those who are circumcised who believe, Romans 4 says. All right, so we have here a continuation of the line in Genesis 5, which is wonderful. Why? Because it seemed like that what had happened to that line when we got to chapter 6. Remember, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took as their wives whomever they chose. And in just a couple of generations of taking wives from outside the covenant and bringing up children not according to the covenant, The covenant people had been all but obliterated from the earth. But grace found Noah, and of his generation, he alone on the earth was righteous in the eyes of Yahweh. Okay, so we get that far in chapter 6, and we say, oh no, we're down to 1/10 billionth of the human race that belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ, that are set apart unto God in the blessed promise of the seed of the woman who should crush the serpent's head. And by God's means, both of wrath and of blessing in the flood, which carried both wrath and salvation in the flood. The flood carried both, didn't it? It goes from 1/10 billionth or whatever the number was. God knows how many were on the earth by that time. All the way to 100%. And yet, we're down to 67% by the end of our passage. Because Shem and Japheth remain. And Ham is born. Well, let's see what the passage tells us. So we have the renewed covenant blessings. Noah went out of the ark. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. What does that sound like, populating the whole earth? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? Okay, so there's another one of the blessings of the covenant of grace that are still intact because of God's merciful salvation in the flood. Okay, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And Noah began to be, and verse 20 says, a farmer. Literally, it is Ha'ish. Adamot, I think. But the word is Ish, and of the Adama. He is a man of the dirt. What dirt? The dirt that God says, I will never again curse it on account of man. Okay? So it doesn't bring forth thistles. It does only thistles. It doesn't bring forth only thorns. Yes, Noah probably had to sweat a little bit, but after the flood, you never know, there are probably these wonderful deposits of mineral and nutrient-rich dirt, and who knows, but Noah would find a whole field or region full of wonderful silt where he would go and be an Ish of the Adama, a man of the dirt that was no longer, or not again, at least, cursed on a ground on account of him. So he doesn't get thistles. He doesn't get thorns. What does he get? Grapes. And it's going to be some 3,000, 4,000 years or so before the Methodists invent the pasteurization process that keeps the grapes from becoming a liquid that God has designed for joy and for strength and for health and for celebration and for the sealing of covenants and for all of these things that look forward to, especially their use in the supper, in which he says, all of those things that I created, wine for, that I praised in all these different parts of my word, they look forward to Jesus, because Jesus is life and Jesus is strength and Jesus is health and Jesus is joy and Jesus is healing and Jesus is energy and Jesus is celebration and Jesus is the one in whom the new covenant is sealed, the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And so we have this new creation blessing and this new covenant blessing. But does it end up being used in a way of blessedness in our passage? No. How? Why? Well, how does Noah use it? What does he do with it? Does he use it to get life? No, he uses it to display the death in himself. Does he use it to get strength? No, he uses it to become so weak that physically he has to wake up out of his drunkenness. He is so weak spiritually that he neglects now even to cover his nakedness. Does he use it to get joy? No. He uses it in a way that brings grief to an entire third of humanity. Does he use it to display his belonging to God? No, he uses it to display his rebellion against God. all of these different things that looked forward to Christ and that had Christ as the substance. He shows the greatness of his sinfulness and his wickedness, that he can use something that is designed for such blessing and such a good purpose in exactly the opposite way for which it was intended. Oh, my dear children, God gives us so many blessings. There are many who even use the blessing of their church membership and the covenant in which Christ has held forth to us to assure themselves of salvation without faith in Jesus. They don't trust in him. They don't live for him. They don't love him. They display to themselves every day that there are many things that they enjoy better than Christ. Lots of things that they refuse to do away with. Oh, they don't need to pray. They don't care if they go a day or even a week without praying. They can't stand to spend a Lord's Day entirely in enjoying Jesus and devoting themselves to him and delighting themselves in him in a direct and personal way. But let someone take away their supper, or let someone take away their favorite serialized TV show on Netflix, or let someone take away their ball practice or ball game or favorite sports team to watch, or let someone take away whatever their habit is, their cigarettes, or whatever their favorite food is, or spending time in whatever their favorite way is, their social media that they can't bear to be without, and they wake up, if they happen to wake up and go to the bathroom at 2 a.m., they check it. Let someone take away whatever that is, and it is as if they have been devastated. And then they say, oh, but I'm a member of the church, and I take the sacraments, and I go to church at least a couple of times a month, and I'm a member even of a church with really good doctrine, so I must be okay. Do you see how they use that, which is a great blessing? It's a great blessing to be part of a church with good doctrine and the covenant signs and healthy preaching and all of these other good things. But they use it to give themselves assurance without Jesus. So you may have something that is a great blessing, that is a demonstration of God giving us the covenant of grace that has a substance in Christ, and you can use it for exactly the opposite thing than it was intended. And when they get to the judgment without Christ, they will say, oh, what a curse to me my church membership was, that although it had been designed to be a great blessing, I used it in the opposite way that it was intended. And here I stand without the righteousness of Jesus, without the Spirit of Jesus in me, without the character of Jesus having been worked out in me, not prepared to enter glory. Because I have no right to enter glory, and I will suffer destruction from the presence of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Will such a person on that day be glad that they had been a member of Hopewell Church? Was Noah blessed by his use of the wine that was a great covenant blessing to him? No. In fact, we are in a very sad and low place in the spiritual life of our nation. Not only because there is so much drunkenness, but because we don't even need drunkenness to commit the great sin that showed how badly Shem and Japheth needed God in heaven to be their father, and needed Jesus to be their covenant head, not just Noah to be their covenant head. Noah allowed his nakedness to be uncovered, and Ham looked upon that uncovering of nakedness. Now, we don't need to spend the time looking at it in this family worship time. We're not going to spend the time in tomorrow's sermon looking at it, but if you're going to go to places like Leviticus 18 especially, the Lord uses this phrase, the uncovering of nakedness, not just to describe what is in itself a great and terrible sin, but to describe all manner of the most corrupt, God-hating, satanic sin that anyone could ever involve himself in. And we live now in a nation that is addicted to the uncovering of nakedness and the gazing upon it. Men and women, and God help us, even boys and girls, who either by not wearing enough clothing or wearing the kind of clothing that leaves nothing to the imagination but makes it plain what those parts that exist only for their husband or their wife to see and to enjoy on of all the earth. They either leave it uncovered or wear the kind of clothing that shows what it looks like. And we live in a nation in which we are addicted, the vast majority of us are addicted to looking upon uncovered nakedness. This is why, dear children, it is so important for your mom and your dad, for as long as humanly possible, to train you to devote your eyes only to the Lord Jesus, to love his law from the heart, to come to repentance and to believe in Jesus. Because every one of us have the heart of Noah, which was reproduced in the heart of Ham and the heart of Canaan. And we need to have a new heart from Jesus before we venture out into a world that is full of this sin that Noah had to get drunk out of his mind, literally out of his mind, to fall into this sin. And we live in a nation and at a time in which people dive into that sin sober. And so do not begrudge your parents who do not let you have a phone or do not let you have a computer or who go through every technological procedure possible to keep you from it, and do not let you have friends who have unfettered access to those things, and who work as hard as we can so that you will come to faith in Jesus and grow in his grace as long as you can before you are exposed to the danger. And parents who are not working that hard to spare you as long as humanly possible and to bring you to the Lord as early as humanly possible, that you may grow in grace for as long as graciously possible, not even humanly possible, are committing a great sin of negligence concerning your eternal souls. And if you ever find yourself falling into that sin, don't wait to be found out. Bring it to your mom, bring it to your dad, that we may help you learn to fight against it, for you will need to be in that battle for the whole rest of your life. Now, we've spent a lot of time on what they were saved from, but behold the curse that came upon not Ham, but who did the curse come upon? Verse 25. His child. Why? For two different reasons. One, because it is ordinary for a parent to love their children's soul more than their own. And how much greater a curse this is on Ham, that it comes upon his son, than even if it had come upon himself. But in the second place, that we would see that curses also are covenantal. Yes, God shows his covenant mercy to 1,000 generations of those that love him and keep his commandments. But does he not also say that he visits the sin of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him? And if you are one who has been born outside of the covenant, you've been born like Canaan, whose father took him and his family outside of the covenant, and where there is darkness and not a coming early to Christ and not a coming to faith in Christ and not a growing in the grace of Christ and fighting sin by the Spirit of Christ, but a being without Christ and without hope and in darkness. How important it is, not just for you, but for your children, that you come to that repentance, that you come to that faith, that you come back into the covenant of grace. Not just for yourself, but for your children. Because the cursed be Canaan shows that the covenant and being inside or outside is real. We see that not just in the curse, but also in the blessing. Why? Does it say, blessed be Shem in verse 26? No, it says, blessed be the God of Shem. Yes, Shem is blessed, isn't he? But he's blessed because he's joined to the ever-blessed one. Because faith in Jesus, repentance from sin to Jesus Christ, and faith in Jesus, which is a turning from trusting in self to trusting in Christ. Faith in Jesus joins us to Jesus, joins us to God. He is the blessed one. In him is all of our blessing. And that's why verse 26 is put the way it is. Not blessed be Shem and let Canaan be his servant, but blessed be Yahweh, covenant name, God of Shem, covenant relationship. This is your blessing. Not merely that you would be a church member, but that outward covenant relationship that God puts you in by setting you apart from the world and to himself, that you would have that ratified, spiritually real in you by faith in Jesus, that he would be all your blessedness, that you would say with the psalmist in Psalm 73, not just, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing else I desire on earth besides you, but that you would also say, those who are far from you will perish, but for me, goodness is found in being near you. Goodness is found in belonging to you. Goodness is found in being with you, that your heart would own the covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. And you would say, blessed be Yahweh, God of Shem. Blessed be Yahweh, God of Christ. Blessed be Yahweh, my God and my children's God and my father's God. So that when Jesus says, I am going to my God and your God and my father and your father, he's saying, I have brought you in myself, I have brought you into the relationship that I have with God, the covenant that I have with God, and even the adoption that I have with God. That you wouldn't just be trained to say as a church member, our Father who art in heaven, but that the Holy Spirit would train your own heart to open up and say, my Father who is in heaven. And so you see the covenant blessing. And it's not just a covenant blessing for Shem, but for all who are in his tents. Japheth doesn't get, blessed be Yahweh, God of Japheth. Well, that ends up being true. But it ends up being true because he's a member of the church. Do you see that in verse 27? May God enlarge Japheth. May God give Japheth blessing. How? Because he dwells, because he gives him the covenant, the blessing of belonging to the covenant family, may he dwell in the tents of Shem. And may all the blessing that God gives on the whole earth, whether it is to a Shem family or a Japheth family or a Canaan family, go to all those who are in the tents of Shem, all those who are in covenant with God. May Canaan be his servant. May all that God does in and for Canaan by common grace be especially for the inheritance and the blessing of Shem and the blessing of Japheth by covenant grace. And so God is saving through Jesus. He is saving and keeping and preserving his covenant of grace, and he has done so to this day in each of my children. How important it is for every single one of you that you would come to faith in Jesus Christ, that you would own the blessings that are held before you in your being set apart unto God as a member of his church, dwelling in the tents of Shem, dwelling now in the tents of Jesus. And may you have that spiritual reality, because you have an earthly father, the imagination of whose thoughts are evil from his youth. And you have in you the nature with which you came into the world that is capable of receiving the greatest blessing and using it in the way of the greatest curse. And you must have the righteousness of Jesus counted for you, and you must have the life of Jesus worked out in you. You must be children, not just of the first Adam, not just of a Christian father, but you must be children of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for this portion of your word and your saving grace that is held out to us, both in your external covenant goodness and in the work of your Spirit, who blesses and makes effective that which Christ has blessed to them that by faith receive them. And I pray, O God, that my children would by faith receive them. And I pray that you would bless the preaching of this portion of your word in the congregation tomorrow, that everyone who is there, your Spirit would come alongside and grant the hearing of the word preached and make it effective in us, that we would attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, that we would receive your word with faith and love unto you, that by your Spirit we would lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and your children here say, Amen.